Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
One hammer in the hand of an obscure Augustinian monk changed the world forever. Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, Germany, calling his fellow professors to examine issues of supreme theological importance. Thus began the Reformation, through which the light of God's word was brought out of the darkness to shine with clarity once more. One of the central cries of the Protestant Reformation was this: the just shall live by faith. Luther's development of the doctrine of justification by faith alone recovered the gospel that had been hidden during the Middle Ages. And at the center of that gospel is the affirmation that the righteousness by which we are declared just before a holy God is not our own. It's a foreign righteousness, an alien righteousness, a righteousness that Luther said is extra nos, apart from us. Namely, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That righteousness that is imputed or counted for all who put their trust in Him. Because of that affirmation, Luther was involved in serious controversies, controversies that culminated in his being brought to trial before the princes of the church and even before the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V. And there, at the Diet of Worms summoned in Germany, Luther was called upon to recant his views. He answered his interlocutors by saying, "Revoco? You want me to say revoco? That I recant? I will not recant unless I'm convinced by sacred scripture or by evident reason. I cannot recant, for my conscience is held captive by the word of God. And to act against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me."
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my main man, Captain Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, welcome to this very special edition of The Reformatory.
Yeah.
The Reformation Day of Reformatory. This might be, I'll have to look back, this might be the first time in Reformatory history,
4 or 5 years
since we've been doing this. Where the Reformation episode drops on Reformation Day.
Yeah.
I can't, this is the Super Bowl.
A lot of people are jumping the gun, like everybody's saying like Reformation Sunday, you know, and it's just like, if you're really special, you'd do it on Reformation Day. You know what I mean? Like,
now we're talking. Yeah. But what we just heard was
what some would consider the goat, one of the goats, Papa Sproul, bringing us the truth of what the Reformation is, what the Reformation was, what it's for, and the truths that came out of the Reformation that are necessary today to continue to be preached. And Jack, I get gassed up. I get gassed up when I think about the Reformation, right? People know this. Mm-hmm. I get gassed up when I hear about the Reformation from Papa Sproul. Today's a good day. I am excited to talk to you, my friend, about Reformation goodness. But before we do that, we got a couple of announcements. We're going to get to your cigar, but as people on YouTube can see, I'm wearing some merch. Check it out.
New, coming in hot.
Amazon, baby. Link in the description of this episode. Get yourself some merch, people. Mm. We got some awesome Reformation celebration merchandise. We got a nice red, white, and blue t-shirt for election season. Dude, it's a good month, man. I can't think of a better month to drop some awesome merch than Reformation month.
This is true.
It's the best. It's the best. All right, Jack. Well, my friend, before we get into talking about Reformation goodness, why don't you please give us the Reformatory Reformation Day Cigar of the Week. What do you got for us, my friend?
Okay, so October, this is the final cigar of October is for Oz Family Cigars. Mm-hmm. This cigar I've never had before. So I'm recommending this based upon the brand, based upon what I'm hearing. This is called the Phi Synthenesia. I'm totally probably butchering that name, if I'm not mistaken. Basically, it is the Phi Synthenesia Red. Excuse me. The Phi Synthenesia Red cigar. Apparently, Synthenesia is like this, like, I'm trying to remember. It's like this mental, like, thing, and where, like, if you keep looking at a certain thing and saying the color of it, it turns that color.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
This is a exclusive. So they've done an original of this line, and then they're doing the red version of this. It's kind of like the Mr. Red, Mr. Green kind of thing from Sinistro kind of vibe. So this is the second blend of the Phi Synthenesia Red. So it is a Toro Vitola sizing. It is an Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper paired with an Ecuadorian Habano binder, and then the core of deeply aged Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos.
Nice.
So the result of this, pretty medium body smoke. And then you get tasting notes of cream, roasted nuts, some spices here and there. So a lot of good things from the cigar. I have not tried it. Apparently they might do a wave three of this next year as well too. So, but gotta throw it over to you, Josh, like I always do. Gotta give me the MSRP, sir.
I feel like in honor of Reformation Month, my friend, I have to go. You know what I'm going to say? I got to go $15.17. $15.17, my friend.
Honestly, you're not that far off.
Let's go. Coming in clutch on Reformation Day, dude. I knew it was not going to fail me.
The range is anywhere from like 15 to like 16.
Yes!
So, I mean, hey.
Dude, this was
a bad shot, right?
I cannot miss on Reformation Day. Everything came together. I knew it would.
Anyway, that is the final cigar in our October is for Oz Family Cigars, the Phi Synthesia Red from Oz Family Cigars. There you go, folks.
I love that. Jack, as always, my friend, beautiful job. Thank you for guiding us through this journey of Reformation Month with amazing boutique sticks. As always, bring in nothing but the best for our people. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the final cigar review of October, Reformation Month. And you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack, dude, that gassed me up, dude. I'm telling you, this is just, it just keeps getting better. It's like Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
It keeps getting better, son.
Oh, man.
So, hey, today's a really fun topic. So today we are going to talk about a topic that I think is important to discuss, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions surrounding what it means to give honor where honor is due in terms of the lives and legacies, if you will, of people, right? Mm-hmm. We know and confess wholeheartedly, you know, it's the final sola in the five solas, right, that came out of the Reformation. Sole Deo Gloria, glory to God and God alone, right? Now, what that means is that everything we do, everything we think, all of our motives, everything should be done for the glory of God and God alone. We should never do anything with the motivation of bringing ourselves glory, bringing ourselves fame, bringing ourselves prestige. It should all be done to promote the glory of God and ultimately Christ and his gospel. That is the reason we exist. That is why we do what we do, right? Mm-hmm. I think that there is room within that understanding to give honor to men and women who have dedicated their lives to the service of the gospel, mm-hmm. who have been used by the Lord to do some pretty amazing things, mm-hmm. and in some cases have paid the ultimate price for their faithfulness and have been martyred for the sake of Christ and his gospel. And I believe that there is even biblical precedence to honor the lives, to hold up these men and women as worthy of not praise, not idolatry, but worthy of resembling. They are examples that God has given to us as pictures of what it looks like to live faithful lives, right? I think we see this in Hebrews in the Hall of Faith. Mm-hmm. As Paul, again, I believe it's Paul, right? All right, come on. I know Jack and I have gone back and forth. I'm going to say Paul.
I don't trust it.
It's going to be Jack's first question when he gets to heaven. Like, just shoot straight with me, dude. It was okay. You. Was it not you? Like,
show me. I will say.
Oh, here we go.
It'll be like Family Feud in heaven. Is it Apollos? Show me Apollos, baby.
Survey says, dude, you are the author.
If it gives me a strike, I'm suing, dude. I am suing.
I love it. I love it. Right. But the whole point of that Hall of Faith, right, is to, I believe, one, show, like, these are individuals that are counted as faithful in Scripture. Mm. Doesn't mean they were perfect, but ultimately, when we look at their faithfulness, right, when we look at the faithfulness of Abraham, when we look at the faithfulness of David, when we look at, you know, these individuals that are counted in Scripture as being faithful to the Lord, ultimately, it should be done in a way that brings God glory. The honor does not stop with the individuals. The honor is transferred through them and given back to God. And when I look at, again, we'll put this in the context of the Reformation. Mm-hmm. When I look at men like John Calvin, Martin Luther, John Huss, William Tyndale, I see men, and then countless other men and women, right? Mm-hmm. Like, go through the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I think that's a fantastic book to read during Reformation Month. You'll be brought to tears over the stories of the men and women that gave their lives for Jesus Christ. I see pictures of faithfulness that are worthy to be replicated. Mm. I see men and women that went through great trials and troubles and persecution, mm-hmm. and yet the resolve that they had to stand firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ did not waver, and they counted everything else as loss, just like the Apostle Paul did, that they would see the glory of Jesus Christ and that his gospel would be promoted, ultimately through their death, right? So I think that there is a good and right way to give honor and to show honor to those that have given their service to Jesus Christ. And I do believe that it is different from what you and I talk about a lot on this podcast, and that is the celebrity type worship that we see in our culture today, where we have like, it's more of a, it's less of an honoring and more of an, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. This is my guy. And because, you know, he's the sermons and the conferences and the books that I listen to. I think this is different from celebrity worship.
Yeah. And I think how it's different, I was listening to a podcast where there's two guys on there who are faithful Christians. One of them has historically voted Democratic. The other one has voted historically Republican. And it was so unusual to see how civil and honoring they were of each other. But yet what I came away from that, which was important, is they said, hey, you know, if you're not challenging what's going on in your, in who you're lifting up as like a voice amongst yourself, I think that's an important aspect of it too. So, you know, when we talk about men like Calvin, who I have behind me right there, and Spurgeon and even Martin Luther, I mean, some of those men had certain glaring things. I mean, Martin Luther had a mouth on him. Oh, let's be honest about that.
Temper, dude. And to the point where Calvin, like, describes Martin Luther's temper in his writings as like it will be his undoing.
And John Calvin probably was a little bit overbearing when it came to rules within Geneva. But
Spurgeon did no wrong.
Spurgeon had, I don't think what Spurgeon had was a defect necessarily. I think he just struggled with things that are common
sure.
We all struggle with, which is depression and anxiety and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But I think with Luther, you do have to be upfront about the certain glaring issues that you kind of see. And kind of, in one sense, honoring what he did, and the other sense saying, hey, like, but we do, like, we're not going to let that slide either.
Right.
And that's that's a very big difference to what Josh and I talk about when it comes to celebrity pastorism, because everybody lets celebrity pastors slide.
It's true.
And they let him slide, and they let him get away with stuff. And I think for us, in retrospect, we can honor men that have done things and also say, yes, they had their faults of their own. They had these certain issues that they dealt with, but we can honor them in the work that they did in promoting forth the gospel and promoting forth reformation. And I think reformation is different than revolution. I don't think any of the men that we've talked about during Reformation Month, I think mostly Martin Luther, but also Jan Hus and William Tyndale as well, too. I don't think they were there to revolutionize the church or bring forth revolution within the church. They wanted things that were glaring issues within the time of the church to actually be changed by the power of the scripture. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, using the scripture. So I think that's a big deal. And even Luther, I love that quote by Luther where he goes, like, I didn't do anything. Like, the word did it all.
Yeah.
Like, when the Pope and when all these princes were coming after me, all I did was preach the word. And then he has this one line where it's like, I had beer with Philip and somebody else. I can't remember who the other guy is.
Yeah.
And all the while the papacy was being weakened.
Yeah.
Like, he was living rent free in the papacy's mind.
Yeah,
you know, you know, like, that's something
this little
like
monk
incredible,
drinking beer and yelling and like, dude, cussing and
the
swearing.
Fact that Martin Luther was living rent free in the papacy's mind, and then he just goes back to, I think, what we can honor Martin Luther was saying, like, the word did it all.
Right.
I didn't do anything, you know?
Yep.
So I think, like, those certain things where men say stuff like that is honorable, right?
Yep. Yep.
Versus maybe some other things that Martin Luther says where it's like, that's probably not honorable, but it's
absolutely.
So yeah. You have to, I think honor comes with a certain sense of humility about the person, but also a realness versus mm-hmm. celebrityism. They can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Let's sweep all the distortions and the sins under the rug and just lift them up like they did nothing wrong in their life.
Yeah.
So two big distinctions.
100%. Yeah, I think it's a fantastic distinction and one that needs to be made just because we see, I think part of the reason that I take such great hope in looking at the men and women of church history is because I see their flaws, right? I see men like Martin Luther, right? And John Calvin. And for me, like one of the reasons that I have attached to Spurgeon so deeply in my life is because of the way that he commiserates with me in his writings.
Mm.
Like I see his struggles. I see his propensity toward depression, his struggles with anxiety. And I know that I'm not alone. Like I can hear him still glorifying God through those things in his writings. And it really speaks to me, right? You know, mm-hmm. and I think it kind of goes to the, you know, back when we did the Steve Lawson episode and we were talking about how, you know, the only heroes worth having are dead ones, you know, mm-hmm. and there's really some truth to that in that, you know, I can look at these men, flaws and all, right, and know that they finished well and see the faithfulness in their life, flaws and all, and the way that God used them and the way that God worked in spite of their flaws and the things that God was able to accomplish through them. And that brings me great hope, right?
Yeah.
And it causes me to want to look up to them and, in a sense, honor them because of their willingness to be used, but also that it doesn't stop there for me, right? In my honoring, I don't deify. They don't turn into deities, right? Or somehow ones that I hold as like super Christians, right? Mm-hmm. Spurgeon would be the first to tell you he's weak.
Yeah.
And his strength only comes from Christ, right?
But I mean, I think the example too is like Paul.
Oh, yeah. He is the ultimate example.
Paul is the ultimate example. I mean, Paul is obviously a writer of scripture, a lot of the New Testament. And I think just Paul's positioning of himself and being real is something that, you know, he keeps saying this too. Like, I think what Josh is saying is like the same thing as Paul would say is like, you know, look upon me as I look upon Christ. Like we're all looking to the same object of our faith, which is the Lord Jesus.
Yep.
So if you look upon me, and it goes to what, you know, Papa Sproul talks about all about righteousness, right? When you look upon, when God looks upon the Christian, he's looking upon Christ's righteousness because Christ has imputed his righteousness to him, right?
Yeah, right.
That's a huge dynamic within the Reformation as well, too. We never had that dynamic until Luther was really showing the great exchange in theology and his writings during that time. So, but yeah, I think it's important that, you know, we look to those men as, you know, Christ helped them along the way and we look to Christ and thank him as well too for making those men worthy of that honor in that sense of like standing up for the faith and defending the faith against false gospels and false teaching when it needed to happen the most in a very interesting time where you had I mean the fact that the Catholic Church was had basically the keys to the church and the keys to the state at that point in time was just it was crazy. I mean, I think a lot of people, I think so many people unhealthily want to go back to that time. And I'm just like, no, we're past that. Like we're past the magistrate. We're past the, oh my gosh, the magisterium, I should say, in that sense. So But yes, I think that we should all have that goal is in the back of our minds. We're looking upon these men, not as Josh said, like somehow they're super saints, like they're super apostles. No, we look to them as a way in which they can show us a glimmer into how to live for Jesus. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 25, it's the Apostle Paul talking, and he says this. He says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And he says this, I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So even here we see Paul saying, look, this man Epaphroditus is so near to my heart because of what he was willing to go through because of his faithfulness to the cause of Christ and his love for Paul. And Paul says, honor such men.
Yeah.
Right? That is worthy of honor. That's worthy of holding up and saying, this is a good thing. Look at the faithfulness of Epaphroditus. It's worthy to imitate. It's worthy to model. Look at how God used Epaphroditus and honor Epaphroditus for his work for in Christ and his willingness to be used, but bring God glory in that. Let the honor that you're giving to him and the way that you seek to imitate him, just as Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's not Paul saying you should give your glory to me because I'm worthy of it. He's saying,
yeah,
imitate me because I imitate Christ and God gets the glory.
Yeah.
Right. So when we're talking about the difference between celebrity pastorism and honoring the men and women that we have seen live their lives faithfully for the sake of the gospel, this is what we're talking about. Because ultimately what this should do is stir in our hearts a desire to be like them, right? And that does not negate the truth that ultimately we should be seeking to be like Christ. We all say that, absolutely. But God has given us men and women to emulate, men and women to be good examples, right? Mm-hmm. We're called to be good examples. You know, dads, be good examples for your kids.
Yeah.
Moms, be good examples for your kids. Pastors, be good examples to your congregation, right? Because we have people watching. And we should be men and women that are able to be emulated because of the closeness that we walk with our Savior. We should, like Paul, be able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I want my life to be one that someone would be able to look at and honor because of the faithfulness that they see in me to my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And then I want that to bring my Heavenly Father glory. It's not about me. It's about bringing God glory, right? So I do not see those things as juxtaposed to each other. I don't see those things as contradictory. I believe I can look at men like Spurgeon and Tyndale and Martin Luther and R.C. Sproul and thank the Lord for giving me an example, tangible, real-life examples of men and women who are just like me, that have my struggles, that have sinned just like I did. But I see the possibility. I see what God can do. I see what he did do in the lives of these men and women and how the world was changed because of the faithfulness that they had to never waver one second from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gives me hope. And Jack, doggone it, I think that's worth honoring. And that's worth holding up and saying, you see this? This is what faithfulness looks like. This is what it looks like to make your life all about Jesus Christ this is what it looks like to bring God glory. Seek to emulate that so that you too can be used by God ultimately to advance his kingdom, to preach the gospel, and to be an example for others that come after you as to what it looks like to bring God glory with your life. I think that's important, man, and I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think one of my pastors, when we're just finishing up the book of Acts, took us about over a year to do this, but we're about to finish it, and I think the Greek word for martyr is the same as for witness, if I'm not mistaken. And so you're literally seeing people who are martyred be witnesses to the goodness of Jesus, and look to those witnesses. I think that's important that we look at them. I don't think we should chase martyrdom. Some Christians in the early church tried to do that, and I don't think that was that was very good. But I think a lot of people, I think what you're talking about is having a good witness and leaving a good witness for people. And I think it's so pertinent in our culture right now, to where we just see so much greed and corruption and just disqualification of elders and celebrity pastors so much that we look at that and it hurts the church's witness to our different communities that we're in.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's absolutely when, you know, you have men who pass away, like R.C. Sproul, and or like Tim Keller recently, they are witnesses. You know, they were faithful to the end. Yeah. And say what you want about both of those men, but they did remarkable work for the gospel. And very wise. I would say it's remarkable to hear stories of other people witnessing their witness of Jesus.
Sure.
I think, because I hear so many stories about R.C. Sproul just being like very, sorry to use a technical term, but ripping heaters sometimes, just ripping cigarettes, like going through like theology and like people talking to about that, or just like Tim Keller being very humble, like very approachable, like very wise and very like fatherly in his advice.
Sure.
So yeah, I think that those are men to emulate. And you know, for them, and you know, this goes back to the book of Hebrews too, like the earth is not worthy of them. This world was not worthy of them. This world was not worthy of the numerous people who've died before us in order to give us the gospel. They just weren't, like, this world was not worthy of their sacrifice. So I think that's an important thing too. Like I think the important thing too is to see that within your own local church. Like, we can talk about the bigger sphere of reformdom and stuff like that. Right.
Right.
But I think when it comes down to it, when you have those people in your local church that you've known who have been faithful to the end, it makes a very big impact where you can witness that and you can see it, and it makes it more real. It just doesn't make it a hypothetical thing.
Yep.
You know, you know, we had one gal recently who passed away. She had multiple sclerosis, and then she had some cancer that came to her as well too, and she had passed away, and her husband is still attending our church. But it's just like every single day this woman would come. Like, I don't think I've seen one Lord's Day where I did not see this woman in her wheelchair, where her husband was you know, wheeling her into the service. And she would get up out of her wheelchair and she would try and walk around and chat with people as well too. But like, that is a woman to emulate, that you are showing people your faith and that every single Sunday, I don't care how I feel. Yeah. I am going to be with the people, you know? So
you're breaking me up here, dude.
Sorry.
No, that's real, dude. That's 100% correct.
But those, like, those
yeah.
instances in your local church,
yeah.
they need to be witnessed to. Like, we can't mm-hmm. just talk about Papa Sproul and everybody, you know, big Reformation and dead guys all the time. Like, there needs to be tangible examples in your local church that you can look to. And I think that's where Josh and I want to push forth to you all is, like, try to cultivate even what Paul does at the end of his letters, this this culture of honor, right?
Yeah.
Where Paul is honoring these certain people, but he's doing it in such a way where he's not holding them up in a celebrityistic way.
No.
He's doing it in a way in which he's exhorting them, but also holding them up and saying, such these people are so, I'm so grateful that they're my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
I think that is a different dynamic than what we see in celebrityism. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Yep. Yep. Because it brings God glory. It does. When I see the faithfulness of men and women in my church, those that I know have a hard time being there, right? And I remember being in that exact same spot. That brings me hope. And that brings me comfort. And it points to me not the strength, the innate strength that those people have, but how God has provided for them in that moment to give them what they need to be there. Mm. And that reminds me that he does the same thing for me. Mm. And man, the men and women that I look at in church history, where I see them giving everything that they have for the cause of Christ, I will most likely never be placed in a position where I have to make the decision, Christ or my life.
Yeah.
Right? I will most likely never have to be there. But there are Christians out there that are. Mm-hmm. This day, being martyred for the sake of Christ. Men and women that hold the gospel so precious that they would rather die than to give up and recant the very truth that makes their life worth living. Man, that's honorable. Mm-hmm. Because I see the glory of God shining through their face.
Yeah.
I see the strength of Christ shining through their face. Mm-hmm. And they take the fire, they take the bullet, they take the rope, they take the knife, they take the sword, because they know Christ is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
He's worth it. Take this life. Take everything that you have. Take everything I own. Give me Jesus. And that's the cry of the martyr. And that's what the Reformation is all about. That's what it promotes, is a life that is so sold out for the gospel of Jesus Christ that everything it does is for the glory of God and the glory of God alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should be seeking to emulate that in our churches. And friends, as you celebrate the Reformation Day today, whether you're doing it at church or at home, however it is, remember those men and women that passed down the scriptures stained with their blood so that you can read them with a practical understanding of what does this look like? How is this lived out practically in the life of the believer? Look at the countless men and women that God has given you, both in the pages of Scripture and in the pages of church history, to see this is what faithfulness looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And honor that and bring God glory in that honor. Happy Reformation Day, everybody.
Yeah.
It's a absolutely. Great day. Yeah. Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Big Eva has sung, people. If you all appreciate Josh and I's attempts to make the local church central to the believer's life, especially on Reformation Day,
yes.
You can follow us on the sociables, if you will. We're all at the tag at Reformatory Pod across all of these sociables that I'm about to say. So the metaverse, or the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or the sociable formerly known as Twitter, X. You can find us all, like I said, at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can drop us episode ideas, questions, comments, concerns, whatever you want. And then, Josh, you can tell the people how they might support us in our endeavors here.
Well, we got lots of ways you can do that. If you want to watch the podcast as well as listen to it, head on over to YouTube. Search for The Reformatory. Give us a like, comment, ring the little bell for notifications, like as the kids say. Pass it on to a friend. Maybe you want to encourage a friend in the Reformation Day. Pass this app off. We have shirts now. We got merch. Link in the description of this episode. We're selling through Amazon. We're keeping it cheap. We're keeping it fun. Some really cool designs up there right now. Give this podcast a rating and review on Apple or Spotify. We'd appreciate it. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. You get bonus ups there every week. A lot of Reformation talk going on there. Cigar reviews. You get first access to merchandise, things of that sort. Pretty awesome. And if you do that for $5 a month, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. Ladies and gentlemen, happy Reformation Month. This has been, possibly, Jack, the best Reformation Month so far. They keep getting better. I'm already looking forward to the next one. Only 364 days, yeah, until the next Reformation Day. Ladies and gentlemen, glorify God with your lives. Glorify God with your voice. Commit to your local church. Sole Deo Gloria. We'll catch you on the next ep of The Reformatory.